I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about from here to there. From here to there. How many of you have ever been in between from here to there? How many of you find yourself somewhat, maybe even seeming stuck in between here and there? You know you got to get there, but you're here. And you don't know how to get there from here. Am I talking to anybody? Have you ever felt like you've just been bogged down in the mud here? And I'm not talking about here in this place. I'm talking about where you are in your life. Just felt like you've been bogged down. Like you know God's got something for you. You know there's got to be something greater for you. But you just can't seem to figure out how to get from here to there. And there's some things that take place in the midst of here to there. Abraham and Sarah had a promise, but they had to get from here to there. And God spoke something that seemed to be hard to believe in their hearts and in their minds, that at their age they would conceive a child, but yet God is able to do all things exceedingly above and beyond what we could even ask, think, or imagine. Amen? He is a God above all things. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years from here to there. The man at the pool of Bethesda from here to there. From being lame to being well. From being blind to seeing. From bleeding to being whole. From being barren to having children. From here to there. Philippians 4. Verse 6, Paul exhorts us to be anxious for nothing. To not allow ourselves to become anxious about things in life. Because from here to there, we become anxious. Why do we become anxious? Because from here to there? Well, a lot of times it's because of the unknown. We become anxious because of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. We should never allow the unknown to paralyze us because He knows everything there is to know about everything. Amen? He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. There's absolutely nothing God does not know. He knows. And so from your here to there, He knows. You may not. You may have to come to grips with the fact that it's okay. That you just have to step out in faith and trust Him. He may call you out of the boat, and you may have never walked on water before, but if He says get out of the boat, get out of your boat. If He says climb the mountain, and you say, but I've never climbed a mountain, then get your hiking boots on and start climbing the mountain. It doesn't matter what you've ever done before. It doesn't matter where you've ever been before. Because where He's taken you isn't where you've been. And to get where He wants to take you, sometimes you've got to step out and trust Him in the from here to there. But I want to share with you this morning one of Satan's devices that he uses from here to there. And one of the things that he uses from our here to there well, there's four tactics that he uses. I'm going to share one of them this morning. I'm going to share one of them with you this morning. And let me get you to the key text of this. Let me get you to the key text. Let me find it. I got it here somewhere. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 is our key text. And our being careful for nothing means that we need to be mindful that nothing that we're going through is going to defeat us. Nothing that we're facing is going to stop us. Anxiousness in a believer. Anxiousness, fear, or doubt in a believer is a lack of trust or faith in God, and that God will do what God says He will do, or that God's capable of doing what God says He's capable of doing. Because God does not want us to be anxious for nothing, because he's going to get us there. And he knows that if we become anxious, he knows that if we become frustrated, the anxiousness and the frustration will cause us to stop in our tracks. It'll cause us to be fearful. It'll cause us to doubt. But each one of us in our life, we will face these things from time to time. We will face moments of uncertainty. We will face moments in the midst of the battle that we're unsure of. But I can assure you of this today, that you and I were born for the battle. We are following a commander-in-chief today whose mission was to destroy the enemy. The enemy cannot destroy you or I. The enemy is defeated. Amen? He is a defeated foe. He is a defeated enemy. And we're living in a day and an hour where I believe the scripture says the enemy is coming with great wrath because he knows his time is short. And because he knows his time is short, he's coming with great wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth because he wants to distract us. He wants to disillusion us. He wants to discourage us. He wants to get us to the place where we give up or we quit or we stop pressing onward. We stop believing that we'll have victory. We're battling against spiritual forces. We're battling against wickedness today. But we are not left alone because he has promised to never leave us nor ever forsake us. He said, I've given my angels charge over you. You know, the struggle in your life that you're facing is nothing more than a mere sign that you've not been defeated. The battle you're in right now is a good sign to you that you have not been defeated. Because if you were defeated, the battle would be over. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? If you're in a battle, it's only a sign to you that you have not lost the fight because the battle is still going on. We engage and we struggle and we have struggle after struggle in the pathway that we find ourselves on this life. We're being transformed. We're being formed. We're being brought closer and closer into the image and likeness of God and how he's created us. And the closer we draw to God, the madder the enemy gets. Every day we're being transformed. The whole church right now is in a metamorphosis, if you will. We're being transformed. We're being changed. Lines are being drawn. It's becoming more and more blatant righteousness and unrighteousness, light and darkness. There were times that the lines were clouded. There were times that it was hard to tell the difference. But today, in the hour in which we live, it's become blatantly clear, righteousness and unrighteousness. Light and darkness. Why is the devil attacking you so hard? Why is it that he's attacking you? Why do you and I feel at times like he's coming against us so badly? Do you ever feel like you got a target on you? Do you ever feel like there's a big old bullseye in the middle of your back? Because it just seems like one thing after another, one thing after another, one thing after another. But Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says he takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in you and I. He created you and I for his pleasure. He takes so much pleasure in you and I that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins so that we would not have to suffer death, but that we could live eternally with him. Isn't that great news? That's how much he loves you and I. And he takes time to beautify us with his presence. And he shows up in moments like this with his glory. And he pours his spirit out on us. And we can feel his tangible presence in moments like we did just a few moments ago as we were singing his praises. I don't know if you could tell, but there was a shift in the atmosphere. You could feel his presence in a mighty way. You could feel the overwhelming outpouring of his spirit in our midst as we began to lift our voices and worship him and give him glory. And in those moments and in those times, we feel strong and we feel equipped, but it's in the midnight hour sometimes or the morning hour when we get up and it's a dark, rainy morning and the thunder's roaring and the rain's coming down and we put one leg out from under the blanket and it feels cold and we want to pull the blanket back up and we don't want to get out because we don't want to face the cool, damp, hard day that we know we might be facing that day. But I've got news for you that if God is in that day with you, you are not in that day alone. He's created that day for you. He's given you that day to bring glory and honor to Him in the midst of your situation or in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your life. You are to shine brightly in the midst of that darkness. So whatever that day may represent, you are to rise high and above that situation and circumstance, because you and I are called to soar like eagles. We're not to get so bogged down and so worried with the difficulties of this life. Why? Because we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our what? Of our faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet not seen. And although we don't see the victory, we believe for the victory. We hold on for the victory because He is a good, good Father. Amen? He is a good, good Father. The enemy just tries to undermine us. He tries to deceive us. He tries to paralyze us. He tries to get us to abort our dreams and our plans. He tries to delude our hopes. He tries to oppose everything that could help us stay close to the heart of God. He wants to get in there and he wants to wiggle into any crack or any room that will give him so that he can paralyze us and he can get us to abandon or abort or dilute whatever God has planned or destined for our life. And the truth is, there's an adversary today that's so jealous of you that he can't stand you. He's so jealous of you because God calls you the very apple of His eye. He wants nothing to do with you. And he'll do everything within his power to discourage you, to disillusion you, or to defeat you. But if God be for you, what dare can stand against you? The enemy will try to convince you, who do you think you are giving God praise? Who do you think you are surrendering your life to God? But God's called us to walk as His servants. God's called us to surrender our hearts to Him. God has called us to trust Him. But the enemy will do everything along his way to destroy us. I'm going to give you a list of four things. We're only going to talk about one of them today. But four of his major ways that he tries to delude, distract, and to destroy, and to get us off track: delay, deceit, distraction, and disappointment. Delay, deceit, distraction, and disappointment. Delay, deceit, distraction, and disappointment. The one we're going to talk about today is delay. Delay. You know what the enemy tries to do to you? He tries to weaken you. He tries to weary you. He tries to cause you to get distracted along the pathway of life. How many of you have ever been on your way to somewhere and a sign popped up and said, detour? Detour this way. And then you went that way and you didn't see any more signs. Because I am convinced there's somebody that comes along and takes them detour signs down. There is some diabolical people in this world that just want people to turn on the detour and then they take all the other signs down. How many of you have ever been on a detour route and never saw another sign from the moment you took the detour? I don't know why that is, but it seems like it happens that way. But see, it's kind of that way in life. It's kind of that way in our spiritual walk. God tells us to go a certain way, and then all of a sudden we can become detoured. We can become distracted. Something can jump in our way. Something can get in front of us to cause us to lose sight of the way that we should be going, and therefore we divert in another direction. We go in another way. And sometimes when we get in that other way, when we go in that diverted path, we become anxious. How many of you got ever gotten anxious in the detour? Because you don't know where the next turn is. You don't know exactly, should I make a right? Should I make a left? Do I keep going straight? How far is this detour? And see, weariness begins to come in the midst of your delay. Because you're delayed in going the way you should have gone, weariness and troubled heart begins to rise up within you because you begin to become concerned with what's happening along that pathway. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 through verse 14. In the third year of Cyrus the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was also called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it was concerned, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me stood a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and his legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. Burnished bronze. What am I reading? Maybe I should put my glasses on. And his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those with me did not see it. There were others with Daniel, but Daniel was seeing a vision that no one else that was there saw. Even though they did not see the vision, much terror overwhelmed them, that they fled and they hid themselves. Daniel says, so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. Have you ever been in a situation where there were a lot of people, but you were the only one that saw something? You were the only one that seemed to know something that was going on that no one else knew? I had no strength left, he said. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. That's what happens here sometimes. Good Lord, it's right there in the Bible. And then I heard him speak, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. My face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. How many have ever had an experience like this? He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you. And stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. It always amazes me when people have encounters of God, but they don't seem to act like anyone who in the Word encountered God. Pretty much anybody in the Word that ever encountered an angel or anything like that, they all seem to have one thing in common. They either were trembling or they were awestruck in fear. Then he continued, do not be afraid. Why? Because Daniel was afraid. He trembled. And he was afraid. Why? These things just don't happen every day. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, that's very important. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, since the time that you set your mind, have you set your mind? Pastor Nathan started this morning with, what would it take to convince you? What would it take to convince you? Have you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God? Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Now I want you to catch this, because this is between here and there. But the prince of Persian king, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So the angel of the Lord came unto Daniel to address the cry of Daniel's heart. And the angel of the Lord declared to Daniel, "Listen to me. Hear what I'm about to say to you. The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days." So for 21 days, there was a resistance from the messenger of God to the servant of God. For 21 days, there was a battle, there was a struggle, there was a resistance from here to there. The word was coming. The message was already spoken. The word had already been declared. What God had said had already been said. It had already been settled. But there was a delay between here and there. There was a delay in between when it was spoken to when it was received. And that's important for you and I to understand. Things do not always come in the time frames that we think they should come. They don't always come through the means and how we think they will come. They don't always come in the way in which we think they will come. And sometimes there are delays because of principalities and powers that try to get into the in there to influence and to distract and to take away what God has for us. Then Michael, which is Michael the archangel, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. The messenger of the Lord had been detained. He had been distracted. He was being resisted. He was being held off. He couldn't get to where he needed to be because of the resistance that came up. We face resistance sometimes in life, don't we? We face resistance. Sometimes the resistance causes a delay. And because of the delay, we become disheartened. We become discontented. We lose faith or trust that what God said He's going to do. And sometimes the wicked forces that seek to destroy us know if they can just delay a little bit longer, if they can just keep you off balance just a little bit longer, if they can just keep you from the promise just a little bit longer, if they can just distract you just a little bit longer, they know they can't defeat you, but if they can just hold you off a little bit longer, if they could just keep you out just a little bit longer. See, in a football game, when they draw up a play and the center hikes the ball to the quarterback and he drops back two steps and he pulls to the left and he hits that tackle over here to the left and the lineman that's beside him, when the center drops back, shifts over, it causes a lane. It causes a gap. And so the center drops back, this guy crosses, he takes this guy out, he takes that one, he takes that one. There's a lane, there's a line up the middle to where the running back goes. And they don't have to hold that block long, Jerry. They just got to make the block. Because if they can make the block, that running back in a split second can hit that hole and be gone for the end zone. All they got to do is delay that lineman just for a second. If they can delay him for just a second, the play works perfectly. The enemy wants to delay you. The enemy wants to distract you. The enemy wants to get you off your game. The enemy wants to cause you to lose focus. The enemy wants to cause you to misplace your trust. The enemy wants to delusion you. But thank God He gives His angels charge over us. And even though the angel of the Lord may be distracted in trying to break through with the message, thank God He'll send another. Amen? He sent Michael the archangel to fight the battle. Man, I'll tell you, that puts goosebumps all over me. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. If you have been a Christian for any period of time in your life, you have figured out that it doesn't take long for you to experience delays. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 69 and verse 3. I am weary. You think you're alone? You think you stand alone in your weariness, in your battle? The psalmist cried out, I am weary with crying. Have you ever cried so many tears that you had no more tears to cry? Have you ever cried so many tears that you've become exhausted in your weeping? My throat is parched, he says. I want you to feel the expression and the emotion of the psalmist. I am weary with crying. My throat is parched. My eyes, they fail while I wait for God. Amen, brother. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Waiting. Waiting. My beautiful, beautiful bride of 32 years. And right now she's thinking, don't do it, Sean. Don't do it. Don't do it. She knows me so well. I know her so well. Yesterday we were out somewhere and she calls me and she says, where are you right now? And I told her my location. She said, okay, I'm on my way. Now, to every man in this building, on my way means she'll be there in seconds. Right? To every woman in this building, you know what that means. Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It means like when I say, the message isn't going to be long today. We're going to get out of here shortly, Buck. Yeah, right. She says, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. So I leaned up against a rack, and I positioned myself, waiting for her glorious arrival. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I start looking all over. 25 minutes. Man, what? 30 minutes. Maybe you should go look for her. No, hold your post. Stay here. She said she's coming. Because you go looking for her, next thing you know, she's going to start looking at something else, and it'll be another 2 hours. Hold your post. Be patient. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give in. She's coming. She says she's coming. She's a woman. Y'all laughing but her right now, right? She ain't laughing, is she? Is she just staring at me? She's just staring at me, right? Okay, all right. And so I'm waiting. 35 minutes. She ain't coming. I'm holding my ground, Michelle. I'm holding my ground. I was becoming weary. I was becoming weary. For a moment, I thought I was going to break out into a little bit of a panic attack. 40 minutes later, she ain't coming. I walked through everything I wanted to see in 5 minutes. I thought I could have been through every store in that mall in 40 minutes. She's coming. I had to lose sight. I had to not lose sight. She's coming. She's going to get here. I know she will. 45 minutes later, I see that glorious hair radiate from the racks. And she descends down the aisle. I'm thinking to myself, 45 minutes. I said, I thought you were coming. She got delayed. There was another rack. There was another sale. You ladies feel what I'm saying? Y'all like, hey, Pastor, what's your problem? Yeah, no clue what I'm talking about right now. And most of you men are like, that's why I don't go, Pastor. That's why I stay home and watch football. That's why I stay in the car. Sometimes delays happen. Sometimes delays happen. How many have ever waited for somebody when they said they're going to come? Jordan and Nate, have you ever? Have you ever? Have you ever had to wait for somebody? Nobody? Nobody's going to admit to anything right now? You get weary, don't you? Where are they at? What time are they supposed to be here? Come on. Where you been? As soon as they get there, you don't say, hey, good to see you. Where you been? Right? You'll say, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Where you been? They got delayed. The psalmist says, oh, I'm weary with crying. My throat is parched. You know, you think about this. You become so weary of crying, your throat's parched. You can't see because your eyes are so clogged up and watery and waiting for God. Waiting. Psalm 62, verse 1. Again, the psalmist writes, my soul waits in silence. You know, we don't like silence today. We don't like to be silent. There's always got to be noise. There's got to be something going on. How many of you find it so wearisome anymore going into a restaurant? Don't go there if you want to talk to somebody because you can't. Because they got the 9,000 TVs going with 9,000 different things on those TVs. And then they got the music playing on over top of the TVs. You know, the waitress has to come to the table and say, can I help you? And then they dim the lights, you know. And when you get like over 50, you know, you have a hard time seeing the small print in the menus anyway. And so they dim the lights, and the TVs are blaring, and the music's going. You just want to say, no, I can't hear, and I can't see either. Somebody turn up the lights and turn off the TVs and the music. Have you ever felt that way? Oh, my, the distractions in life. The distractions. My soul. Wait, you don't see silence much anymore. Pete, we don't know how to wait in silence. We used to back in the day, you know, when we'd walk in 4 feet of snow up to our waist at church. You know, those, you know, we would wait on the Lord. There were times in service I wonder if we were ever going to do anything. We're just waiting on the Lord, just waiting. Just waiting until we sense God move, waiting until we sense God speak. And until then, nothing took place. We don't tend to wait on the Lord anymore because everything's quick. Everything's instant. We want to hear. We hear so much. I sometimes wish we could go back to the times where we don't know what's going on in another part of the world. Did you ever just think that? Did you ever just think sometimes, I wish we didn't hear? Believe it or not, you who are younger than me, there were days that, you know, we didn't know what was happening in another part. Matter of fact, if something happened in another town, you didn't know it. Unless you got the newspaper the next day and you saw a little article or whatever in the newspaper. But today, it's blowing up your phone, it's blowing up your iPad, it's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's just... hear everything all the time. Psalmist said, my soul waits in silence for God only, from Him is my salvation. Waiting is difficult. Waiting's difficult. And if you are my age or older, you know, sometimes it even becomes more difficult. You know, it's like we're anxious to wait when we're younger because we just want everything when we want it. And then we get older, we realize our life is passing by quickly and we want things to come because we realize, you know, how many know what I'm talking about? And the older we get, Doesn't it just seem like time flies by so much quicker? I was 37 years old, skinny as a rail, and had a lot of hair. None of it was gray when we came here. 17 years ago, now I'm 54 years old. It's amazing, and I look out and see my kids, how they've grown. Your kids, how they've grown. My Lord, the other Sunday, I'm standing here singing, and I see a woman walk in and bend down to put something at her seat. And I think to myself, wow, she looks a lot like my daughter. And then she stands up and faces front, and I thought, wow, she looks a lot like my daughter. That is my daughter. Boy, how things, life changes. She cut her hair, she colored it darker. She had it straight instead of curly. I didn't even know it was her. I'm thinking, who is that 30-some-year-old woman visiting with us today? Well, she'll hate me for that one. But yes, I have a 31-year-old daughter. I know that's hard for you to believe. I know that's hard for you to believe, looking at Susan. She looks like she's in her 20s still. Yeah, I'm just trying. Tyler told me the other day, when somebody's digging a hole, they should stop digging. So I'm just going to move on. I ain't digging no more. I am not digging no more. But isn't she beautiful, huh? Isn't she beautiful? Sometimes I wonder how these years go by so quickly. We were going up the road the other day, and I said to her, Susan, do I look 54? I'm not going to tell you what she told me, but. No, she said, you look good, babe. You look good. I said, you're lying. I just wonder sometimes how all these years, Karen, go by so quickly. From that first meeting that you guys visited over here a year into our ministry, sitting right about where Jerry and Diane are over there, and me coming over and meeting you and talking to you and asking you what you do and what talents you got for the Lord, next thing you know, they're on the stage leading worship. All these years, where did they go, Missy? From you in Texas, tuning in on the website, listening to the sermons, in Derry, Pennsylvania, only to marry Lanny in Derry, Pennsylvania, and moving here. If that ain't crazy, huh? Yeah, you probably were our first internet listener in Texas, and now she's here. You don't think my messages are good? Come on. You know, the great bathroom philosopher once said, you know, it's so funny sometimes, the delay. It's like it's got to roll out, you know? The great bathroom philosopher once said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the quicker it goes. How many of you found that out to be true? There have probably been more arguments in the house over toilet paper than, you know? Who was the last one in there? I've often heard it said this way, that the key to patience is, while you're waiting for something, is to keep busy while you're waiting. The key to patience while you're waiting is to do something while you're waiting. I agree with that. I don't go places and just sit and do nothing. If I'm going to get my oil changed, I take my iPad with me. I'm emailing people. I'm working on sermons. I'm looking up scripture. I'm reading articles. I'm constantly keeping myself busy. Why? Because if I don't do that, you know what happens? This thing in between my ears just starts going like this. How many know, if you don't keep yourself busy on the right things, this thing up here will start taking you in another direction? Your mind will take you a million. How many of you have ever said, I got a million things on my mind? How many really believe that sometimes? I mean, you got so many things on your mind, it's unbelievable. You need to dump them sometimes. Keep busy. Keep busy in the things of the Lord. I've watched people over and over and over in my life say things like, I'm just going to sit here, wait for God to come through. That's the worst thing you can do. Because when you just sit still, you become an easy target. The more you move, the harder you are to hit. That's why I move around so much. The more I move, the harder I am to be hit. A moving target is not easy to hit. But a lot of people just want to sit and do nothing. Well, I'm just sitting, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. You're a fool to just sit there. You wait on God, but keep busy while you're waiting. Especially keep busy doing the things that he's called you to do. See, God's already given us things to do, so we need to keep busy with the things that he's called us to do while we're waiting for him to do the other things that he said he would do. Sometimes we abandon the things that he's already called us to do or he's already spoken to us to do because we're waiting on something we want him to do. Always, the scripture says, abounding in the work of the Lord. So when delays come into your lives, when delays come into my life, we need to trust him more. We need to submit to him more. We need to turn our life over to him more. We need to trust in the sovereignty of God that he works all things together for our good, even if it isn't coming to pass at this moment. I read an article that said that Mrs. Einstein was once asked by a reporter if she understood the theory of relativity. And her response was this: no, I don't. But I know Albert, and he can be trusted. I like that. I like that. I hope that can be said about me. I hope that can be said about you. Oh, I don't know about that, but I know they can be trusted. I don't know all that about relativity or whatever, but he can be trusted. As Christians, we may not have a clue, James, why God's delaying. We may not have a clue why that distraction has come in to our life. We may not have a clue because we want an immediate answer. We want it fixed now. We want it done now. But the thing is, his followers need to know and understand without a shadow of doubt is that he is trustworthy and that he can be trusted. Amen? I've said this little saying for years: when you can't see his hand. Thank you. Makes me feel good that you listen. When you can't see his hand, trust his heart. David wrote this: I would have despaired unless I had believed. I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see his goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, yes, wait for the Lord. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. And I know at times it seems extremely difficult to do it. But the psalmist said, wait on the Lord. Take courage. Do not be discouraged, because God will come through. May not be when we want it. May not be the way we want it. May not happen the way we want it. May not be the way we think it's going to come through. But God will do it. God operates on his own schedule. God operates in his own timing. But I can tell you this, he never disappoints. God has a far greater perspective in your life and in the events of your life than you or I do. Plans, schedules, we try to keep. We try to figure it all out. We make our plans, the scripture says, but he directs our steps. Amen? Psalm 18, verse 30, the psalmist tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. If God's way is perfect, then we can trust that whatever he does, and when he does it, and how he does it, that it's perfect. If, in fact, the word is truth, which we believe it is absolutely truth, If the psalmist said, for God's way is perfect, then we can trust that. Whatever he does, whenever he does it, however he does it, that it's perfect. And if we come to grips with that, and if we come to trust that, waiting and trusting God will be less difficult in our lives. And believe it or not, it can actually become joyful, because we know that he works all things together for our good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, if we will acknowledge him, he will make our path straight. God's sovereignty is defined as he is in complete control and totally independent over every situation and circumstance and event in every moment of history. Subject to none, influenced by none, absolutely independent. God does what he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. And nothing can snatch us from his hand. He is a good, good father. Isaiah 46, verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Once we gain this understanding, and once we trust in his heart, it allows us to then take comfort in our waiting, take comfort in our delays, to be patient in his timing, because his timing is perfect. Many of you have heard me say this, and I'm going to close. But if I've learned one thing in my walk with the Lord, which I've learned a lot of things, but if there's one thing that I have become so assured of, is God's timing. Jill, I trust God's timing in my life. I trust it. There was a time that I didn't. There was a time that I was wearied by it. There was a time that I complained through it. There was a time that I cried, though I had no more tears. My throat was sore, just like the psalmist. Waiting! But the good news is, Lori, he who has promised. He who has promised. You remain faithful in your life. Remain faithful at your job. And eventually, when your child needs college education, God opens the door to give you a new job that will provide education for your daughter. God's timing. God's timing. He works all things together for our good. You can trust him. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy. So from here to there, buckle up your chin strap, pull up your boots, tighten your belt or your suspenders, and hold on. Because the road may get bumpy. It may have some winding, twisting turns. But God will see you through. And he'll be there with you every step of the way. And you will come out victorious on the other side. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, worship team, will you come back to the platform? You will come out on top. You will come out victorious because of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that we would have life and that we would have it more abundantly. And as we head into the Christmas season, there are those who are waiting for a gift, waiting for a present, waiting for something, waiting for someone, when the greatest gift that has ever been given was the gift of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Came into this world so that you and I would have life. And died on a cross, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven. now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. So in the midst of our delays, in the midst of our in-betweens, in the midst of our from here to there, will you trust Him? Will you put your hope in Him? Will you put your confidence in Him? The delay will work out for your good. The delay may be for many reasons. One, you may not be ready for that thing yet. Two, there may be a spiritual battle trying to keep that thing from you right now. Three, it just may not be God's timing yet for that thing, that person, that situation. But from here to there, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you. Come on, will you stand with us this morning? I'm going to pray with you. And then we're going to sing our final song this morning. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? I'm going to pray and you repeat it. And we're going to pray this prayer together to the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, I trust you today. I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with my life. I believe today that there is no God like you. You are the one and only. You are the true God. And I trust you today. I trust that you're working my situations out. And you will make it all for my good. You are a good, good Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will not doubt. I will not get in fear, despite my delay. But I will trust you, because you direct my path. I trust that. I believe that, and I will not turn from that. I set my feet today firmly upon you. I will not doubt. I will not mistrust, and I will not fear. You will get me from here to there, and I will trust your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.